Folks, we have 5 weeks left in 2016, and we need $105,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2016. What's the danger of getting most of your news from sources like Rush Limbaugh, or for that matter, Jon Stewart on the other side?
This would be like getting all of your news out of editorial cartoons.
Children are great at smashing your idols. They have a wonderful way of keeping you from temptation by just sort of taking all of the money that you were going to dedicate towards your idols and saying, no, you have to actually use it for something that in the end is much more beneficial.
The holy angels in heaven are not weeping and wringing their hands because millions of people are dying and going to hell. The holy angels in heaven are rejoicing over one single sinner who repents.
Central Texas welder fabricators love to turn and burn while listening to Issues, etc.
I vaguely recall someone, I think they were a former evangelical, and then they became a fan of the show, and they had listened for a while. And this was years ago. They contacted us via email, I think, and asked a simple question. They said, you know, when I was going to evangelical churches, I heard a lot about Israel, and you guys don't seem to talk as much about Israel. You talk a lot about Jesus, but not so much about Israel. What's up with that? That's a very good question. My question is, why were they talking so much about Israel in the evangelical church, and why do they continue to do it? Welcome back to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It is This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to be talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith about how Scripture defines Israel, and to kick it off, why do evangelicals talk so much about Israel? After that, it's Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week, a simple game we like to play with our listeners. We play four soundbites from this week's Issues, Etc. audio. You listen, then you give us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE. You send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or you go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and you vote for one of those soundbites to be Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, that's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues, Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad, goes to the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Why do evangelicals talk so much about Israel, and how does Scripture define Israel? Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Why so much Israel talk in Pop American Christianity?
A lot of it has to do with the confusion that is created by dispensational theology. And as a result of it, evangelicals really truly believe that the Jewish people play a critical central role in the upcoming Great Tribulation as we get closer to the return of Christ. And so it plays into their eschatology regarding the rapture and what's going to happen on the earth post-rapture. This is the way they talk. And it's actually caused by a few things, but primarily not paying attention to how Scripture defines particular words. And the word Israel is one of these words that has multiple uses and meaning within Scripture. And if you don't pay attention to how Scripture defines the word Israel, you're going to end up very confused about what Israel of note in the New Testament.
Maybe a way of kind of getting at it before we hear the examples here, Chris, is if I'm teaching in Bible class, or if I mention Israel in a sermon as part of the text from which I'm preaching, probably 99 times out of 100, it is going to be in reference to God's Old Testament people at some point in that Old Testament history. It may be Israel is referenced to the church today, but that wouldn't be quite so often. But in evangelicalism, they're a lot of times going to be talking about that country over there now in the 21st century, right?
That is absolutely correct. And if you want to talk about how Scripture refers to Israel, there's a very narrow way in which Scripture refers to Israel, and it's one person, and his name when he was born was Jacob. And after he wrestles with God, God changes his name to Israel. That's one way. You could talk about the children of Israel, and this would be those who are his descendants. You can talk about the theocracy of Israel in the Old Testament times, but there's another use, and we'll get to this in just a minute, of how Israel is used, and it has to do with true Israel, and it's those who have the same faith as Abraham. That's another use. But what has happened since the nation state of Israel has been reestablished in 1948, those with dispensational theology see that as an imminent harbinger of the return of Christ, and they point to that Israel as if somehow that Israel is actually talked about in Scripture, and it really isn't.
You have brought some examples. Who are we going to be hearing, and what should we be listening for?
Okay, we got three sound bites from Larry and Tiz Huck. And this is Larry Huck Ministries, and he's going to lay out like what I would consider the typical argument that if you curse Israel, God is going to curse you. And we'll take a look at the passage that he's referencing to see if that's actually what's going on, and especially how it's defining terms there.
God's pleasure is to give us the kingdom.
Yes.
Then as we begin to study over the last 25 years, what's blocking the blessing of what Jesus paid for in the seven places he shed his blood? And we want to talk to you about this. The Bible, and I'm just going to give this to you real quick because I want to get in some real meat. We've been talking about breaking the curse and releasing the blessing.
Yeah.
The Bible says in Proverbs 26, a curse without a cause doesn't come.
Yeah.
The reason why our world right now is in such a mess is there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
It's not just bad luck. It's not the devil is more powerful than God.
Right.
A curse without a cause does not come. In other words, if a curse comes, there's a reason.
Exactly.
Okay? Very simply, go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, where God says, concerning the Israel, the land of Israel and the Jewish people, I will curse those who curse you and I will bless those who bless you. Now, that's what God says. If you curse Israel or if you curse the Jewish people, then I'm going to curse you. Mm-hmm. The opposite is if you bless Israel or if you bless the Jewish people, then I will bless you.
Yeah.
Okay. The passage, you said you were going to kind of look at the passage that Larry Huck was purported to be getting his kind of what global perspective from.
Right. It's Genesis chapter 12. And when we talk about proper hermeneutics and biblical exegesis, it's always important to note when something is referring to something, what the referent is. And so he read out of context Genesis 12, verse 3, that says, I will bless those who bless you and dishonor those or curse those who curse you, and in all the families of the earth shall, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's important that since he read it out of context, he said that the blessing and cursing refers to either the land of Israel or the Jewish people. And that's technically not correct. The blessing and cursing is actually regarding Abraham. And here's what it says, Genesis 12, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, the important thing here is that this is an explicit prophecy that is pointing to Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul develops this thought in the book of Galatians, that the one that is referring to there is Jesus. And so the idea here is that it's not saying that if you curse the Jewish people, you will be cursed. The blessing comes to Abraham, and Scripture is very clear. In fact, Jesus himself is extremely clear that simply being a descendant of Abraham does not make you blessed before God. In fact, you know, you think of the preaching of John the Baptist, repent, repent, and don't begin to say for yourselves, Abraham is our father. I tell you, God can raise up children for Abraham out of these stones if he wanted to. And so Scripture over and again makes a clear distinction between those who have the faith of Abraham, the faith in the one who the whole world will be blessed through, as opposed to those who are just genetically related to Abraham. There is a huge difference. And so already we've got a problem because he's blurring the referent. He's pointing to the wrong thing that the passage is pointing to, and then kind of extrapolating from that, well, if you oppose a policy that the nation of Israel has put in place or something like that, so somehow you're cursing yourself. And I think that kind of gives the basic idea of what we're talking about.
So he has done what he's done. He's taken what was spoken to the progenitor of the children of Israel, Abraham mm-hmm. specifically, and applied it to all Jews, to all biological descendants of Abraham throughout all time, but especially the nation state of Israel in the 21st century.
That's correct, and you really can't do that. And there's a reason why, and that is that we would always let Scripture interpret Scripture. And we, as Christians, being in the New Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant has now been fulfilled by Christ and has been abrogated. Romans chapter 9 actually gives us the right way as Christians to understand the important Israel. It's not the nation state. It's actually those who believe in Christ. And here's what it says in Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 1. He says, Paul says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ, and I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I could wish myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelite, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race according to the flesh is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And so the point is this, is that the Israel of note in Scripture, and the one as Christians that we need to pay attention to, is the Israel, the true Israel, those who have the same faith as Abraham. And so the idea is just because somebody is genetically related to Abraham does not mean they're part of the true Israel. And then in Romans chapter 11, it makes it very clear that those of us who are Gentiles by nationality, that we are not genetically part of the Jewish heritage, that we, by faith, have been grafted into true Israel. We are likened to wild olive shoots that have been grafted into the olive tree, kind of contrary to nature, if you would, and those that were supposed to be there were broken off because of unbelief. So the idea here is that if you understand what Scripture says, it's not that the church has replaced Israel. That's the wrong way of talking. Instead, that all who believe in Christ have been grafted into true Israel, and that's the Israel of note, the one that really matters, not the present-day nation state that was established in 1948.
Another example from Larry Hawk?
Yeah, this one, now he's going to talk about specific ways in which you are going to curse yourself if you oppose Israel.
So if we are saying from the pulpit or as Christians, yeah, well, we've replaced Israel.
Yeah.
There's a curse.
Right.
Well, we blame the Jews for killing Jesus.
Yeah,
there's a curse.
Huh? Christ killers.
The Christ killers. Yeah. You know, that's given the excuse to attack Jews,
right,
because they're the Christ killers. And
yeah,
I explained the history of the church, yeah, for 325 years. Nothing was ever mentioned from the time of Jesus to the Council of Nicaea, 325 years. Nothing was ever said,
yeah,
in any Christian doctrine about the Jews killing Jesus.
Right.
There's nothing. It was always the Roman army, the,
yes,
Roman Empire.
Yes.
He conflated two things there, didn't he?
Yeah. He, not only that, he actually said something that is factually incorrect. It kind of teased this all out. is a little bit of a mess. But the idea here is that, no, you don't curse yourself if you say the church has replaced Israel, although I don't think that's quite an accurate way of describing the church's relationship to Israel. Instead, you say those who have the same faith as Abraham, those who are Christians, who trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, they have been grafted into Israel, and no, that doesn't curse you. You kind of get the idea. But the other thing is that he kind of took the concept of anti-Semitism and mixed it now with anybody who would actually take issue with the way he's defining Israel and things like that. And that's the bigger problem. So if you say, listen, no, I'm a Gentile and I've been grafted into Israel by grace through faith because of Christ, that doesn't make you an anti-Semite. And it's actually factually wrong to say that the Jews didn't play a primary role in the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, this is kind of an important point. There historically have been those who hold a racist view, an anti-Semitic view of those who are genetically Jewish. And they put up as a pretense for their hatred the fact that the Jews were complicit in the crucifixion of Christ. But the person who says that is not saying that because they want to be biblically accurate. Instead, what they're doing is they're actually harboring sinful hatred towards other human beings, and you know, and they're using that as a pretense to cover their hatred. This is absolutely sinful and needs to be repented of. But it is historically true that the Jews played the primary role take the primary responsibility for the historical crucifixion of Christ. But when you read Scripture, it's very clear that every human being, regardless of whether they are Jew or Gentile, is culpable in the crucifixion of Christ because God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And this is why you see in the early preaching of the Apostle Peter, where Peter is in a large crowd of people and people who weren't even there when Jesus was crucified, and says to them that they are guilty of crucifying the Lord of glory. And he's right, because all of us are guilty of that. So we kind of untangling the mess that Larry Huck so quickly spins out takes a little bit of time. But if you pay attention to how the Scriptures define things and how Scripture speaks of things, then you can easily see where the error lies.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about how Scripture defines Israel as opposed to how it's often defined in Pop American Christianity. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Stay tuned. The Issues Etc. book of the month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
An oasis in the desert of Pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org. That's hopebham.org. Or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Children have a wonderful way of taking all of the money that you were going to dedicate towards your idols and saying, no, you have to actually use it for something that is much more beneficial.
The problem is that we have a nation that no longer seems to have the attention span to consume the news products that Rush Limbaugh consumes, that Jon Stewart consumes, on which to base their commentaries.
A rainbow reminds us that the flood once was, and it reminds us that God is now being patient with us, but it's also a reminder that this is a God who judges wickedness.
The holy angels in heaven are not weeping and wringing their hands because millions of people are dying and going to hell. The holy angels in heaven are rejoicing over one single sinner who repents.
That's just a taste of the four sound bites we're going to be playing for you in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. When we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, remember you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or wait until we play and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity, How Scripture Defines Israel. Chris, before we go on to hear this third and final example, I just something that's bugging me. Mm-hmm. I've noticed it with audio from the likes of Paul and Jan Crouch. Usually when it's a husband and wife team that are doing these teachings, televangelists and things like that, you get what we were hearing there in Larry Huck from his, I assume it's his wife, sitting next to him. Kind of this constant litany as he speaks, she's doing, yeah, right, not only annoying, but it's so common, there's got to be a name for it, a reason for it.
I don't know a name for it. I call it the yummy sound. That's what I call it, because she's constantly doing it. But if you were to listen to, like, the preaching of T.D. Jakes or Stephen Furtick or certain Pentecostal and charismatic teachers, there is a growing tendency where they have within the audience these people who are saying, uh-huh, come on, yeah, that's right, amen, and it turns the preaching experience into kind of a dialogue, and they openly encourage it. I think that's a form of that we're hearing from Tiz, and so I find it quite annoying, and every time I hear it, I usually say, yeah, that's the yummy sound. It's the weirdest thing, but I always kind of imagine her saying, come on, husband, that's right, Larry, we gotta buy some more fuel for our private jet, so, you know, bring the bacon home, baby. That's a little bit cynical, but that's kind of how I view it.
Oh, well, that at least that might make it tolerable to listen to occasionally when we have to. What's the third example you brought for us of this misdefining Israel in Pop American Christianity?
Now, this last one is going to tie specifically into how they view the end times. And what we're going to hear is, I think, a complete misunderstanding of 2 Thessalonians. But let's hear what Larry Huck has to say, and then we'll see if we can unpack this and make sense of it.
What the strategy of the devil is, remove the Jews from the land of Israel.
Yes.
Divide the land of Israel. Mm-hmm. Divide Jerusalem. If that happened, we would lose all of our holy sites. Mm-hmm. Everything in Jerusalem would be out of the hands of the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And the Messiah cannot come to a Jerusalem that is not in the hands of the Jewish mm-hmm. people.
That's some weird stuff there. So Jesus wants to come back, but if the politics don't go Israel's way,
uh-huh.
then he's stuck in heaven.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah, so apparently Jesus can't come back unless he comes back to a Jewishly controlled Israel. And let me explain to you why they think that. The passage in question is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and specifically in verse 4. But let me back up into verse 3 so you can see the context. And here's what Paul wrote. He says, "Let no one deceive you in any way. That day will not come unless the rebellion comes first." This is talking about the great apostasy. "The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God." And so here's how this works. They argue that the temple of God referred to in 2 Thessalonians 2:4 is a third temple built on the Temple Mount, on the site of where the old temple was, which is not there currently. And so the way they run their eschatology, this is also the same temple to which Christ is supposedly going to return. And so there's no way to build a temple like this unless Israel is under the governmental control of those who are genetically Jewish. And so they will literally argue the goal of the devil is to keep Jesus from coming back by kicking the people, the Jewish people, out of the land of Israel. That would guarantee that this temple never is built, and then these prophecies cannot be fulfilled, and then Christ cannot return. And this, again, is an issue of referent. The question is, when it says that the man of lawlessness exalts himself in the temple of God, what is the temple being referred to? Is it referring to a rebuilt Jewish temple in Jerusalem, or is it referring to the Church of Jesus Christ? And, when you read the writings of the Reformers and even the Church Fathers, they make it very clear that this is not pointing to the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. This is instead pointing to the Church. And so the man of lawlessness is a churchman, not somebody who exalts himself in a Jewish temple in Jerusalem. And that's really kind of the issue, is that if you believe that this is referring to a rebuilt Jewish temple, then you begin to start to run into this idea that Satan can somehow thwart and prevent Jesus from returning.
So the danger here, aside from the fact that it is just it's just made-up stuff in some cases, the danger here seems to me to be that just in terms of sheer volume, an evangelical preacher could in fact spend the better part of his preaching and teaching talking about this kind of stuff, the nation state of Israel, time in which he will not be talking about the Israel reduced to one, the Israel by which we are incorporated into God's people, Old and New Testament, Jesus Christ himself.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, the last part I wanted to talk about is how the word Israel is pointing to actually Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, the Lord says a very interesting thing. He says, "Thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me." That's a fascinating way for the Lord to be talking. But another cross-reference to that is Hosea chapter 11, which we will be reading a cross-reference to in the upcoming nativity text as we get close to Christmas. But here's what it says, Hosea 11:1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." And so Hosea 11, Exodus 4, point to the fact that Israel itself is reduced to one person, and that is Jesus Christ. He is Israel in one, and he then fulfills the Mosaic covenant for us. And so when we understand that Jesus is the true Israel, now we understand that he's the vine, we're the branches. We as Christians are grafted into Christ, and Jesus is the Israel of note, not the Jewish nation state that was reestablished in 1948. And when you get your reference wrong regarding who Israel is and what Israel is pointing to in Scripture, your focus is going to be completely off. It'll either be on Christ or something that isn't. And that's really the danger.
And Christian, in practical terms, does that in fact happen in Pop American Christianity? Does Jesus and his saving work at the cross for the world get pushed aside for lots of conversation about whether or not we like Israel or not?
Sadly, that is where a lot of evangelicals spend their conversation. Jesus literally gets relegated to a footnote in their conversations rather than being the focus, and that really is a problem.
Chris, tell us about tonight's Fighting for the Faith.
Tonight, we're going to be doing a best of. I am in the process of taking care of a matter of public interest that has required me to spend some time talking with some other people and church leaders as we come up with an idea as to how to address a very thorny and painful issue regarding a fallen pastor.
So a best of for you to listen to, folks, of Fighting for the Faith with Chris Roseborough right after the broadcast, the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristian.com, piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, keep up the good work, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Folks, you are not going to find this kind of false teaching and the distraction of the nation state of Israel in the worldwide mission efforts of Luther Academy. They're committed to training Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth. You can find out more about their great work at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy. On the other side of the break, we are going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's four sound bites we play for you. Then you give us a call and you vote for one of them. Your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. Listen for the four sound bites on the other side of the break. Then give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Stay tuned. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We are what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.